All right, what do you say? Should we do this?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Ooh.
Wrong show, Mr. Talladega. That'd be all right. That'd be good. You know, whatever. We can do that one again, too. I got the script somewhere.
That scared me.
Wow.
Oh, my God. I reflexively just looked everywhere for, like, the scripts and the numbers and the timer and the Okay.
Yeah. There we go. That's the right theme music. Holy
so
cow.
Calming.
Heart has restarted. Hey, everybody. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Welcome back to Yes, This Is Make Me Smart, Not Marketplace. We make sense of this day as best we can.
I am Molly Wood. Thanks for joining us. It is Thursday, also known around here as Hollowed Out Shell Thursday. I'm going to say the most hollowed out thing today was me realizing only like 20 minutes ago that it's only Thursday and not Friday.
Okay.
Come on.
Although honestly, I'm not all that hollowed out today. I may well be after the next 15 minutes of our collective lives, but right now I'm actually doing okay. I'm doing okay.
I'm feeling good, and as you are going to see from our feature discussion, we have only that poor boat in the Suez Canal to thank.
Our feature discussion.
It's just seconds away.
Oh my Lord! Yes, so we will do that. We will have the feature discussion. Yeah. We'll do a little make me smile, and then we'll get out of your hair. Okay, you go first with your boat story, and then I'll go with my boat story. Okay.
Okay. The thing that actually blew my mind about the boat story, which is. Despite it being like an ungodly busy day today, I still have found so much time to check in on the boat story. But the thing that actually really shocked me was the story that published just a couple hours ago on CNBC saying that according to Lloyd's List, they have calculated that the blockage of the Suez Canal is now costing $400 million an hour.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It is holding up an estimated $400 million an hour in trade based on the approximate value of goods that are moved through the Suez every day, according to the shipping data and news company Lloyd's List. They value the canal's westbound traffic at roughly $5.1 billion a day. I mean, wowie wow. And somebody, there was an oceanographer on Twitter today who was basically like, listen, don't let anybody kid you. This thing is going to be stuck for weeks.
Right. Which kind of segues nicely into mine. And I'll lead with the cool, the hydrodynamics of this thing. So Brendan Greeley, who writes for the Financial Times and is, according to his byline today in the paper, the part-time boat correspondent for FT Alphaville, their opinion section, spent a bunch of time talking to hydrodynamics experts and fluid dynamics experts. And he has a totally fascinating piece, which I will not do justice to. But the gist of it is that because this thing is so big and because container ships have gotten so big so fast, we really don't know exactly how to handle them in tight, confined waterways like the Suez Canal. And what happened was that once this thing got a little bit janky, it was all over. Because of the size of this thing. Tony's going to put it on the show page. I cannot recommend highly enough that you read it. So it's super, super interesting and really insightful. Item number two, and this goes to Molly's thing about $400 million a day, and the guy saying it's going to be stuck there for a good long time. $400 million an hour, which is even better. A woman who works for Lloyd's List, right? She is the energy analyst and the markets editor at Lloyd's List. Her name is Michelle Weiss Buckman. She noticed today, because this is her job to track this stuff, that the company that owns the Ever Given, which is the ship that is stuck, and the name of the company is Evergreen, okay? So just bear with me here. Evergreen is the company. Ever Given is the ship that is stuck. She noticed that another ship owned by that same company called the Evergreet appears to be the first container ship that is diverting down around the Cape of Good Hope. So the company whose ship is causing these delays is looking at this going, oh no, we're all going around the long way. So that gives you some indication because it takes 12 days to go around the horn, right? It's going to be at least 12 days before this thing is unstuck. That's the inference one might draw, which is craziness. Yep. Craziness. Yeah.
My goodness.
Yeah.
Random oceanographer guy on Twitter was right.
Yes.
Yeah, we're going to be I'm glad that we sort of haphazardly happened to talk about cargo ship backups and have made this our story.
I know.
Because
I
this
can't
is going to
happen
massive.
This story now. It's amazing. It's amazing.
I can't either. And the memes just keep getting funnier and the pictures just keep getting crazier and is bananas. And also apparently according to I'm going to have to find these tweets. I'm sorry that I'm this poor guy I'm calling him random oceanographer guy. But he also said that you know, plucky little bulldozer that we've all the little bulldozer that could or whatever. He was like, "Trust me when I tell you that in real life, this is one of the largest vehicles you've ever seen. It's like the largest tracked, you know, hauler or something you will ever encounter." And it's practically all we've got, apparently, to take on this apartment building that accidentally fell sideways.
It's nutty. Random Googleage gets you this. I was just thinking about the fact that the Ever Given, which is the ship that is stuck, and ships like it, which is also the Ever Greet, right, same size ship, carry 20,000 containers apiece. And one of the things we've been talking about on this program and also on Marketplace is the shortage of containers. So now, look, there are tens of millions of these containers around the globe, and if even, you know, 1 or 2% of them are jammed up in this traffic jam, that's not huge. But it's enough when it's already strained. The whole system is strained. I can't stop thinking about this story. It's crazy.
And I don't know I made the not very funny joke earlier that at some point NFTs might actually be the only products that we have because everything else is like stuck on a ship somewhere. I mean, talk about a local sell. You know, if the theme of 2021 and beyond is decentralization, like this is I don't know, grow your own food and collect your own water and make your own shoes kind of story.
It's a humdinger.
It's an onshoring story.
Humdinger. Yeah.
I really like it. Cannot get enough of that. And then real quick news that I just saw as breaking news before we came on that is not about the really big boat, but that I think is remarkable mainly in light of one of my favorite interviews we've ever done, which was with the Bail Bond Project. I think that was that husband and wife. They were so incredible.
Early on,
Way back in the day. But apparently, in the state of California now, the California Supreme Court ruled today that the state cannot keep criminal defendants behind bars simply because they cannot afford to post bail pending their trial. For most inmates in California, cash bail in California is over. And that is a huge deal.
It's a huge deal. And it comes on the heels of a new AG out here and a new district attorney in Los Angeles. I mean, there's a movement certainly out here where this is happening.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's a big deal. That's it. Time for some smiles.
Ben, hit it. All right, mine's pretty straight ahead. California is going to start making 50-year-olds, which sadly is me, eligible for the vaccine on April the 1st, and all adults, 16 and up, on April the 15th. And I'm glad and satisfied that is happening. So that's a good thing.
Don't you feel like they totally listened to our show? I'm sure that's what it was.
Because you remember.
Also the nearly exponential increase in vaccine availability, which is amazing.
Yeah, it's not here yet, though. I mean, I'm banking on that, but it's not here. Because I went online today and tried to get myself an appointment on April the 1st. Nothing. It's going to be a little bit. Yeah.
It is. And there's going to be a little bit of a Suez Canal-sized traffic jam. Probably.
That's right. That's right.
One imagines. It was a callback. Yeah. It was a callback.
That was good. That was
even
awesome.
Thanks, man. Well, I'm going to start with the more bittersweet and end on the true make me smile. This is a story of a story that shouldn't have to exist, which is that an elderly Asian American woman in downtown San Francisco was attacked last week on the street. She's 75 years old, and she beat the bejesus out of her attacker and sent him to the hospital. Nevertheless, she was attacked on the street in the middle of the day what is only the latest in a string of horrific events. And then her grandson organized a fundraiser online to pay her medical bills. And that fundraiser raised almost $1 million, $965,000 in a week, which itself would be enough to restore a little tiny bit of faith in humanity. And then It was reported in the LA Times that she intends to donate all of it to combat racism against Asians.
Yeah.
Which is amazing.
Which is great. Yeah.
And there's an, you know, there's an argument that America doesn't deserve her. But
yep.
The counter argument to that is that people donated almost $1 million. So
That's
a good story.
Yeah.
It's a good story. And then before I start crying, Kimberly Adams posted this hilarious thing in our Slack today. Where on a site called defector.com, which I have never heard of before, they made the Suez Canal boat story into a children's story called, "Oh No, Big Boat is Stuck." And I wish my child were younger so I could read it to him, but I'm still going to. It's amazing. Yeah.
It's really good.
It's great.
It's really, really
big
good.
Boat this smiled is, big boat. Is how it ends.
This is Big Boat's was, important job. Yeah, every day, Big Boat carries big boxes in the water to the other side of the world. Big Boat steers the boxes through huge waves and under giant bridges. Anyway, it goes on from there. It's quite long, actually.
It's quite long. It's a really good, like, you could get your kid to sleep with this story. Yep. It's really wonderful.
Props to Kelsey McKinney for writing this one.
Yeah, really it's good. Fantastic. Really oh, my gosh. Good. We have 5 minutes. Can I throw in a third one?
Of course you can. This is America. You can do whatever you want.
All these things were happening right at the end of, right as I was like coming in hot on the show today. And the thing that I saw, the other thing I saw right before we started is that the Bank of England has unveiled a new 50-pound note featuring renowned scientist Alan Turing, who is, of course, best known for basically like cracking the codes that won World War II for the Allies. Yep. But also is increasingly, as the years go by, and heartbreakingly enough, better known for being prosecuted for being gay in 1952. Yep. And 2 years later, he killed himself. And he has been owed all kinds of apologies and finally received many of them. But this is also – this is just a great – that was great. It's a great moment.
And there's all kinds of – well, the super cool thing is that on the 50-pound note, there's all kinds of like puzzles and there's like cryptography and the Bank of England like did it right with this guy who made his name in cryptography. Yeah. Also, might I just recommend for all you Benedict Cumberbatch fans out there, of which I am one, The Imitation Game, which is that story of Bletchley Park and all of that. Watch that film. It's a great one. It's a great one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then go read Cryptonomicon. By Neal Stephenson. You can just have a wonderful nerdy time. Okay, now we're finally turning into an episode of good news over here.
It's not so hollowed out, is it? So here's one more little bit of good news, and it's just us saying thank you. For those of you who dug deep and contributed to our match for a million bazillion so that they can have a second season making our kids smart on money and finance and all of that good stuff, we made it. And thank you. We appreciate it. Y'all are super generous, and we know these are tough times for a lot of people, so we just want to make note of that.
Yeah. Thank you so much. And our shared producer who's been on maternity leave, Bridget Bodner, Donna Tam has, of course, been filling in for her, now gets to do that show, and who knows if she's ever coming back to this one. Wait,
so what happens to us? Does Donna stay?
I don't really know. Maybe.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Win-win. We get the whole team.
Update tomorrow when we rejoin you for Economics on Tap and the YouTube live stream, 3:30 in the afternoon Pacific, 6:30 on the East Coast of the United States. Join us because we'll be there hanging out.
We will be there.
Hanging out. Yes.
What a cheerful show today.
Yeah, that was pretty good. We may have to rebrand Hollowed Out Shell of a Thursday.
We may. That would be a win.
Make Me Smart is produced and directed by Marissa Cabrera. Tony Wagner does production stuff for us. Erica Phillips writes our newsletters and the Make Me Smart skill on your smart devices.
Today's program was engineered by Ben Tolliday. He also composed our theme music with Daniel Ramirez. Our senior producer is Donna Tam. The executive director of On Demand is Sitara Nefis. And we're keeping her, by God. We want them all. We'll take everybody. We would just like the whole team. I have to control tab. Anything?
Nah, a little smiley face.
There we go.
Yeah, which I guess she's happy, crying, tears of joy on it.
Tony, because he is up on all the things digital, says Defector is the new Deadspin. Independent media.
all over the country.
We need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.